Our first scripture lesson this morning is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Our second scripture lesson this morning is from Matthew, chapter 6, verses 22 through 24. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Somewhere along the line, we missed a couple of scriptures that we came right before what she read, where Jesus was talking about do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy and where thieves can steal, but rather store up riches in heaven where moth, rust cannot destroy and where thieves cannot steal. Not sure how that got left out, but keep that in mind also. And we pick up where Nancy left off in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what we will drink, or what will we wear? For it's the Gentiles who strive after these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's troubles is enough for today. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're continuing our look at the Sermon on the Mount. And today Jesus is talking about worries and anxieties. And the first one he mentions is the one that tends to be the one we most worry about, which is money. We worry that we might not have enough. And so we get all anxious about it. But then he goes on a little bit further and he says, you can't serve two masters, because we can become so consumed with the thought of money that we lose sight of God. And I think what Jesus is getting at here are priorities. What are your priorities when it comes to these spiritual matters? Do we put the physical and material values above the spiritual values? Again, it's all about priorities. There's the true story of a woman on the Titanic who had gotten into one of the lifeboats. And she said, oh, there's something I need from my stateroom. Will you give me time to go get it? And they said, you've got 3 minutes. If you're not back in 3 minutes, we're leaving without you. And so she goes tearing off toward her stateroom. The boat is already starting to tilt to one side. And she runs through the gambling room, and there's money and all that piled up on the along the floor. She just runs right past it. She runs into her stateroom, and she pushes aside her diamond rings and her expensive bracelets and earrings and necklaces and reaches up over her bed, and she grabs 3 small oranges. And hurries back to the lifeboat so that it might be lowered down. 30 minutes earlier, she wouldn't have given you a whole crate of oranges. She would have not bothered with those over one of her smallest diamond rings. But suddenly, what at one moment seemed to be precious and valuable was now worthless. And something that was of far less value, perhaps considered worthless to some degree, now became very precious and very valuable. And so it is with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is of worth far more value than anything we might possess here on earth. Jesus gives us 2 examples about not worrying about these things. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, but God provides the food that they need. Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow and how beautiful they are. They don't do anything in order to grow. And Jesus says, and I tell you, Solomon in all of his glory and all of that, he didn't dress any more beautiful than those lilies of the field. And if God cares about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, how much more will God care for us and provide what we need? So he says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and seek first God's righteousness, and all these other things that you need, God will provide. You don't need to worry about those things, but trust in God. And then he continued and said, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. Goodness knows, today has its own troubles. Stick with that. Take it one day at a time. And don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, when it comes to worry and anxiety, it's a lot easier to say don't worry or don't be anxious than it is to actually not be worried, to not worry and not to be anxious. I mean, what did Jesus know of the coronavirus? You know, should we even bother coming to church, or should we stay home, hold up in our own homes? Should we shake hands or fist pump or elbow tap? How are we going to do communion where we don't spread this if it happens to make its way into our sanctuary? These are worries we could have. There's also the worry of the election coming up. Both sides are worried, you know, who's going to win? Is my person going to win or the other party going to win? And there's a lot of worry and anxiety about the election. And, of course, getting back to the topic of money, which is what Jesus raised to start with worrying and anxiety, the stock market is going crazy. It doesn't know how to respond to this possibility of a pandemic. Up and down, and just can't make up its mind. So many things to worry about. But we're told not to worry, not to be anxious. Today I want to talk about our worry and our anxiety about our church as we begin to think of my leaving. What's going to happen? Who's going to be in charge? And certainly the stakes just got higher with Becky's resignation letter yesterday. Who's going to do what? Who's going to be responsible? Who's in charge? Well, let me tell you who's in charge. God's in charge. This is God's church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's not the Sessions church. It's not the church's staff's church. It's not even the presbytery's church. This is God's church. And God's going to keep it together. And God's going to be in charge. And God's going to see you through. Now, that doesn't mean that you can just sit back in your pew and not do anything. Remember those birds of the air that God provides the food they need? Well, the worms aren't just dropping out of heaven at the birds' feet. They have to go looking for it. We have to be busy too. We have to be about the work of this church. And that's going to require people to step up, to do things that other people might have been, staff might have been doing before. But we got to step up and make sure things happen the way they need to be happening. We'll need to find an office manager. We'll need to find an interim pastor. We'll need people to serve on that search committee that looks for the interim pastor. And God reassured me that God is in control even in that, because this weekend at the presbytery retreat, I came across a person on the southern end of our presbytery that is an interim pastor whose contract ends at the beginning of June. I don't know whether that person would be a good fit here or not, or whether the person would even want to come here or not. But what it reassured me was God will provide. And God will do that. We have to trust and wait on God. But we have to be active. You know, I share your anxiety about what's going to happen. My fear is I'm going to leave and everything that I've worked out for over the past 13 years is going to fall apart. And that scares me, worries me. When I came here, this was a divided church. We had different factions that distrusted each other, that didn't like each other, and I even would dare to say hated each other. And it took a while, but healing came and unity came. And we started to be able to work together. And we've done some great things since then. I say that the 2019 was one of the best years since I've been here. We started new things and things that worked. Some of the things we did was the Tuesday services, and we did the 40 days of prayer. We did adult Christian education and had participation in that like we've never had since I've been here. The deacons did the life plans where we talked about how to prepare for the end of life issues. We're videotaping our services now, soon to go live streaming them. Oh, we've just done great things this year. And my anxiety is that it's all going to fall apart, that we're going to divide into different factions. And I pray that that will not happen. I pray that God would bring unity, that God would stir you to work together to keep this church going. This church is a healthy church, and it has great possibilities if we don't let it go, if we stick together. I know there are people that have questions as to why I'm leaving, and I want to reassure you, I'm not being run off. I'm not leaving angry. I believe it's God's timing. That the way I've seen everything fall into place, especially in such a short period of time, I believe this is God's timing. Timing for me and timing for you. And I have a confession to make. There have been other times that I have looked for a job. And things did not work out. I think the timing was either not right for me or the timing was not right for the church or whatever, but it never seemed to pan out. this time it did, and did it in what I would consider record time. And for me, that says, this is from God. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not sorrows, disappointments, grief over my leaving. We're going to miss one another. I love this church. I love you, the people of this church. And I will miss you greatly. And I hope that you'll miss me. But God is bigger than this. Pastors come and go all the time. The presbytery is going to be there to help you through this process. The session is meeting this weekend to talk about what needs to be done once I leave. Who's going to do it? Who's going to oversee it to make sure that it's getting done? And we need your prayers, that we're asking the right questions, that we're finding the right answer, and that the people will step up to do what needs to be done. I don't know what's going to happen when I leave, but I have enough faith in God that good things will happen here. But it's going to depend on your willingness to put aside your worry, your anxiety, and unite together and strive together to make it happen. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these other things will fall into place. And how do we do that? We read that in the Philippian passage. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How are we going to make it through here? Through prayer, through trusting in God, through striving for God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Stepping out in faith, believing that God will provide. Just as God takes care of the birds in the air and the lilies in the field, God will take care of you. God will take care of this church. God's going to take care of me. It'll all work out. Amen.